Shalom to all. Today's office is Yerushalmi Shabbos Daf Tes Zayin. We are starting Tes Vav Amud Beis, the bottom line with the word Tani, and the Vilzer Daf is on Yud Beis Amud Beis, about halfway in between Halacha Ches and the end of the Amud. And today's office sponsor Lilu Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Basav Yaakov Moshe Hernish Shamash should have an Aliyah. And we continue discussing a non-Jew doing Malacha for Yid on Yontif. Tani, we have a Brisa Umanim Gaim Shayu Oisin Im Yisrael, a non-Jewish craftsman who's doing work for Yid. Tes Zayin Amud Aleph on top. Besoich Beis Hashal Yisrael Aser Ubesoich Batayen Mutter. If he's doing work in the house of the Yid, so it's Aser. But if it's in his own house, it's in the guy's house, and it's mutter, because it doesn't look like he's doing the work for the yid. Now, Amar Shimon Elazar, he further explains about Medvar Murim, when it was said that it's allowed to be done in the non-Jew's house, Biki Bailas. That's only if he's hired to do this particular job. Because in that case, he's not doing work for the yid, he's doing work for himself, he wants to make the money. Aval B'Shir Yayim, Aser, but if he's hired by the day, then it's Aser, because then whatever he does that day is for the yid, so it's Aser. Furthermore, by Medvar Murim, as I said, B'Tal Shman HaKarka, that's only if the non-Jew is doing work with something that's detached from the ground. Aval B'Mechobar HaKarka, Aser. But if he's doing work with something attached to the ground, for example, he's building a house for the yid, then it's aser. And that's because he's doing it in the reshus of the yid, and someone who sees him is going to think he's a schir yoim, even though he might just be a kablon, he maybe was just hired to build the house, and he's not hired by the day, somebody might think he's hired by the day, and so it's aser. And a further explanation, bir acharas, if he's in a different city, benkach u benkach mutter, either which way it's mutter. And the question is, mao benkach u benkach, what does that mean, either which way? Ben mitolsh, ben mechor, ben beschir, ben mekabalis? You want to say that in all situations, it's permitted to do the work for the yid because he's in a different city? That doesn't make sense. So Amar Ila explains, Bein B'Talosh Bein Mechaber, if the non-Jew is in a different city, so then he could be working with Talosh or even Mechaber, or Bavad B'Kibolas, but it has to be that he's working B'Kibolas, that he was contracted to do this particular job. It can't be that he's a Schir Yom. Because again, if he's a Schir Yom, he was hired by the day, then anything he's doing for the Yid is considered working for the Yid on Shabbos, even though he's not in the same place as the Yid, he's in a totally different area. And Rav Shimon Bar Kano says, B'Shem Ravacha, B'Shabbos, Uba Avel, Uba Avayda Zara, Halacha Rav Shimon Elazar, in regards to Shabbos, which is the din we just mentioned, in regards to somebody doing work for an Avel, and in regards to Avodah Zarah, this is a Yid doing work for a non-Jew on his non-Jewish holiday. The halachas like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that as long as the person is not a Schir Yom, he's just doing Kibayles, he's hired to do a particular job, so then it's not considered like the work is being done for the Avel, or it's not considered like the work is being done for the non-Jew. If it would be done for the non-Jew, then we're afraid he might think his Avodah Zarah, that the Yid is doing work for him, and that's not a good thing. And again, in all of these, we pass like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. I continue to discuss a non-Jew doing work for Yid on Shabbos. Ein mishalchin igaros b'yad goy, loy b'erev Shabbos, lo b'chamish b'Shabbos. No sending a letter with a guy, meaning no mailing a letter, either Erev Shabbos or even on Thursday, and that's because we're afraid the guy's going to take it on Shabbos, and then he's doing work for the Yid on Shabbos. Now, B'Shame Eser Nafil Bervi, U'Beisal Matirin. B'Shame Asers this even on Wednesday, but B'Shame allows on Wednesday. And Omer Al Rabbi Yitzhak Kain, they said about Rabbi Yitzhak Kain, Shalinim Suksavi Biad Goy Me'olam, that his handwriting, meaning a letter of his, was never found with the guy, because he was always afraid that the guy was going to take it on Shabbos, and that means he wouldn't even give it to him on Sunday. Another din, which is very similar, Ein Marfish Liyam Agadol, Loi Barav Shabbos Lebechamish B'Shabbos, no going out on a sea voyage, the Yam HaGadol, the Great Sea, either on Erev Shabbos or on Thursday, and B'Shame Eres and Afil B'Revi, B'Shame Asers even on Wednesday, B'Shame Mastirin, B'Shame Allows, Im Hayam Makam Karo, if that's proper Girsa, if the place he's going to on his sea voyage is very close. Kagan, for example, Metzur Letzidain from Sirte Tzidain, where he could get there in one day, Mutter is permitted to leave even Erev Shabbos because he could get there before Shabbos. Now, the general idea behind this is because anytime something can be considered before Shabbos, for example, Thursday and Friday, that's before Shabbos, one has to be careful not to get involved in something that he knows will cause him to do malacha on Shabbos. So as he's going on a sea journey, he knows he's going to have to be mechal Shabbos, and since he's before Shabbos, because again, it's Thursday, Friday, he has to make sure not to go on the sea voyage. But if we're talking, let's say, Sunday, Monday, so it's not considered before Shabbos, it's after Shabbos, so he's not commanded to be careful, he's going to end up doing malacha on Shabbos, and if he still finds himself on the boat on Shabbos, so of course he's allowed to do malacha, because that's pikuach nefesh, he's in the water, he can't just sit there and do nothing. Similarly, the Gemara continues, Ein mekifin al ir shel goyim pachas mishlei shiyam kadem l'Shabbos, a Jewish army is not allowed to surround, meaning they're not allowed to lay siege to a non-Jewish city within 3 days before Shabbos, because they're going to end up doing malacha. However, Hadad HaTamer, this is only said, Mechamas Rishos. If the Mechama is Rishos, it's not a Chiv, it's not that they have to go on this war, they just want to expand Eretz Yisrael, maybe they want to annex some cities in order to collect taxes. The siege is not allowed to be started 3 days before Shabbos. Aval Mechamas Chayva, if it's a Mechama, that's a Chayv, it must be done. For example, conquering Eretz Yisrael the first time, Afil B'Shabbos, this war is allowed to be waged even on Shabbos. Where do we see this? We find that Yerichai, the first city that the Yidden conquered when they came to Eretz Yisrael, that was conquered only on Shabbos. The pasuk says, "Kais asasheshes yamim." This is what you should do for 6 days. They walked around Yerichai belonging to the shayfers. Uksev, and it says, "Ubayom Hashvi," on the seventh day, that was Shabbos. Tosevu seir, you should walk around the city sheva pamim, 7 times, and that's when the war actually took place. The walls fell down after blowing the shayfer, and then they invaded and killed everyone. And again, that was on Shabbos, and that was a mechamas chayva. So we see that's allowed to be done even on Shabbos. Now, just going back to the din of mechamas rishos, then how do we know if they started before Shabbos, they're allowed to continue fighting even even on Shabbos, because the pasuk says ad redita, until it's conquered. And what do we learn from here? Afilu b'Shabbos, even if the siege and the fight lasted through Shabbos, they're allowed to continue fighting then. And atal lachates with another machlokes b'Shabbos Hillel. Mishnah tells b'Shabbos says ein noisin oris la'abdon. One is allowed to give hide to the tanner before Shabbos, like kehil mukaves nachri, not clothing to the non-Jewish launderer, el kedei shi'asu b'yayim, unless there's enough time that this work is completed before Shabbos. V'kulan b'sel matir n'mashemesh. All these things b'sel matirs imashemesh, which means right before Shabbos, it's not a problem. You're allowed to give these things over. Now, Shem Gamliel says, "Noigin hayu beis Abba. My father's house had a custom. Shayu nice and clay lavan shalahen l'kayvus nachri shloishiyam kaidem l'Shabbos. They would give their white clothing to the non-Jewish launderer 3 days before Shabbos, and that's like Beishamai." Lastly, mission concludes. V'shavan elu ve'elu. Both them and them agree. This is referring to Beisham beis Hillel. They both agree. Shetayin mekarz beis Habad v'igule hagas. The one is allowed to load olives and grapes underneath the heavy beams or planks of the press right before Shabbos starts, and that's no problem. We already mentioned this previously, and the Gemara is going to explain why this is. The Gemara quotes the beginning of the Mishnah, Einos and Arsla Abdin V'chulu. The question is, Ad Eichon, up until where? Meaning, according to Beis Shammai, how long before Shabbos does a person have to give their hides to the tanner in order to ensure that he's not going to run into issues? The answer is, Yevek Ma Demar Rav Yechon B'Shem Rav Chunya. Let's bring, like what Rav Yechon said, the name Rav Chunya, in regards to Toma, Akde Hil Charba Mil, the amount of time it takes to walk 4 mil, the Koi Chain, that's proper Girsa. Here it's the same thing. If a person wants to give his hides to the tanner before Shabbos, according to Beis Shammai, it's got to be done at least the amount of time it takes to walk 4 mil before Shabbos, which is anywhere between about 70 and 100 minutes. On to another din, Nasan Kel V'Kavis Nachri. Let's say he gave his clothing to a non-Jewish launderer, Ubal Mitzoy Ovid by B'Shabbos, and then he sees the guys cleaning them on Shabbos. Usser, it's usser to benefit from this clothing. Not only is he not allowed to use them on Shabbos, but even after Shabbos, he has to wait B'Chidei Shiyasu, which is the amount of time it would take to clean them after Shabbos. Only then he's allowed to wear them. So let's say it takes an hour to clean them, he would have to wait for an hour after Shabbos in order to be able to use them, because since the non-Jew did this malacha for him on Shabbos, he can't benefit from it on Shabbos or even after Shabbos for this amount of time. Now, Amar Yudin, Yudin says, he even has to tell this non-Jew to stop doing this work. Stop cleaning my clothing. You're not allowed to do that for me. Obviously, the guy doesn't listen, so he doesn't have to make a big deal about it. If the guy doesn't want to listen, there's nothing the Yid could do about it. Now, Amar Yudin, Avod Rav Matanya, Tazayinon based on top, Rav Yudin, the father of Matanya, said, Hadi Tamar, this was only said that you have to tell the non-Jew not to clean his clothing for you, is B'tayvas Hanaya. If he's doing it for free, he's doing you a favor, so you have to tell him, don't do this for me on Shabbos. Avul B'sachir, but if he was hired to do the work, you're paying him, Ba'avitei Wasik, he's just doing his work. He's not doing the work for you, he wants to get paid, and that's why he's doing it. It's not considered like he's doing it for the Yid, so you don't have to tell him anything. And continue to explain the Mishnah, we said, that my father's house had the minig, that they sent their white clothing to the launderer 3 days before Shabbos. And the Gemara clarifies, Loi Amru Elavanim, this was only said with white clothing, Hatzavu and Loi, but colored clothing does not have to be sent to the launderer so much time before Shabbos. Through this we learn, Shalavanim Kashim L'chabes, Yarsim Hatzavuin, that white clothing is much more difficult to clean than colored clothing, and that's why it needs to be sent to the launderer so much in advance before Shabbos. Continue to explain the mission, we said, Veshavin V'chulu, that both Beisham and Beis Hillel agree, which really means that Beisham agrees to Beis Hillel, that one's allowed to place the olives or grapes into the press right before Shabbos, no problem. And the question is, why is that? So Shmuel, Reb Yossi ben Chanina, Terei and Amrin, both of them say, Kfar Nekra kol tipa v'tipa m'kayma, already Erev Shabbos, every single drop of liquid was already considered uprooted from its place because the olives and grapes were put under the beams. They were already crushed, and so that means that the juices already are moving. It just takes some time for them to ooze out and flow out into the holding vat, but it's not considered like the melacha was done on Shabbos. It was already done beforehand. Rav Acha Amar, Rav Acha says, question, is he allowed to touch that which is flowing out on Shabbos? If you're saying that there's no isser in putting it in the press right before Shabbos, so maybe there's no isser in touching that which is coming out. And here we have Machlokes, Rabban de Kesar and Amrin, they say, they argue about this, Rabbi Yechon Amar Aser, that it's Aser to touch that which flowed out on Shabbos, Rabbi Yis Bar Chanina Amar, Mutter, that it's permitted. And Masnisa Pliga, Rabbi Yis Bar Chanina, we have a Brisa clearly not like Rabbi Yis Bar Chanina, because the Brisa says, V'shavin, Shalai Yigab HaMayshech, that both B'Sham B'Sel agree, that one is not allowed to touch the juices that flowed out on Shabbos. And Al Ta'alachi Yod, the Mishnah tells us, Ein Soylin Basar Batzel Beitza El Kadesh Yitzelim Bayad Yayim, this is something that both B'Sham and B'Sel agree to, and we had mentioned it previously as well. One is not allowed to roast meat, onions, or eggs, Erev Shabbos, unless there's enough time for them to be fully roasted before Shabbos. And we'd say that's because if they're not fully roasted and he leaves them on the fire on Shabbos, Shem Yechata B'Gachalim, he might end up stirring up the coals in order to produce more heat to cook them better, and that's an Isser, obviously. Furthermore, V'ein Nosin Esabas Otanarim Chashecha, no placing bread into the oven as it's getting dark, meaning right before Shabbos, V'le Charar Al Gav B'Gachalim, no placing a charar, which is like a cracker or biscuit, on top of coals, El G'day Shikim Uponeha, unless there's time for Krimas Panim before Shabbos, Shabbos. Krimas Panim means that a crust is formed on the entire surface of the bread. It has to be that there's at least that amount of time in order to put it in before Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi Lezer, remember, he argues, and he's a little bit more makel, k'dei shi'ikra matachlein shalah, only the bottom of it needs to form a crust, and that takes much quicker than Krimas Panim, the entire surface forming a crust. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, insan basar v'chulu, and now we have a din, seemingly based off of the din of our Mishnah, Rabban Bar Kana says, b'sher Rabbanon, tavshon is bashal kol tzarchai, if we have a dish that's fully cooked, motel asher salga b'kira she'in ektuma, one is allowed to leave it on a kira, on a stove that's not katum. Let's just explain some of these terms. She is the din of leaving food on a fire before Shabbos, and it's obviously going into Shabbos like that. A kira is a stove in which the food is placed on top of it. It's different than a tanur in which the food is placed inside. And the word katum is also very commonly found throughout the Masechta. Very often it's found with the word garuf. We'll see the word garuf v'katum. Garuf means when the coals are raked out or raked to the side, and katum means that they're covered over with dirt or something. In both these scenarios, both with garuf and katum, it minimizes the heat of the fire, and there's basically no chashash that a person is going to try to stir the coals to make it hotter. And very often we find that the only time we're allowed to have food on a fire is if the coals are garuf or katum. And that's what Rabban Bar Kana is saying, seemingly based off of our Mishnah, that just as like we can infer from our Mishnah, that as long as basar, batzel, and beitza was fully roasted before Shabbos, he could be mashet and leave it on the fire going into Shabbos. So to here, if we have a fully cooked dish, it's allowed to be left on a kira, even though it's not katum, even though nothing was done to the coals and they're in their full heat, we don't have a chashash that he's going to be mechate b'kachalim, that he's going to try to stir them in order to get it to cook more, because again, it's already fully cooked. However, Rabzeira asked, how could you say that? Basar, batzel, beitza, and stomach v'raloi. These things that we mentioned in our Mishnah, the reason why they're allowed to be left on the fire, even though it's not katum, is because they're mitstamik v'raloi. Literally, the word mitstamik means to shrivel or condense, and raloi means it's bad for it. In other words, the longer you leave these things on the fire, the more shriveled and worse they become. And that's why there's no chashash of chitu b'gachalim, that a person is going to stir the coals to get it to be hotter, because he's actually going to ruin his food if he does that. But v'zem, mitstamik v'yafaloi. This tavshal shan esbashal kotzarchai, it's mitstamik v'yafaloi. The longer it cooks, the better it gets. Kind of like your cholent. The longer it cooks, the longer it sits in that crock pot, the more tasty it gets. V'atamar hachin, you're saying this? You're saying that you're allowed to leave this tavshal shan esbashal kotzarchai on an open fire that's not katum, and we're not afraid you're going to mechate b'gachalim, you're going to stir the coals in order to create more heat? Adaraba, you want more heat because it's mitstamik v'yafaloi. And therefore, Abza'era says, Dilma deloyes amris elachamin, maybe this din of tavshal shan esbashal kotzarchai mutal ashoy salgabi kira she'in ektuma was said in regards to chamin, which literally means hot water, and hot water is actually mitstamik v'raloi. If you have water boiled before Shabbos, you don't want it to continue boiling on Shabbos, or else it's going to boil out, and you're not going to have hot water for coffee or tea. And so it could be that's what the din was said in regards to, and therefore it is similar to the din of our Mishnah of basar, batzel, and beitza. However, now the Gemara tells us, us Reb Shmuel came, and he said, b'shem Reb Ze'era, in the name Reb Ze'era, that's the proper gersa, ham chochmo kol tzarchan, hot water that was fully boiled before Shabbos, also shayisan agab b'kir shen ektuma. One is not allowed to leave it on the stove if the fire is not katum. Now another din, Reb Bibi says, b'shem Reb Yechanan, tavshal shar, a dish of shar, which means a meat dish, shen espashal kachilz ben drusai, it was cooked only kamachal ben drusai. It was only cooked a third of its total amount. Moter lachziray agab b'kira ketuma. One is allowed to be machzirit on Shabbos. He's allowed to return it to a kira as long as it's katum. This is another din, often grouped together with shehiyah. Throughout the Gemara and Halacha, we'll usually see the terms shehiyah, chazara, and hatmana all grouped together. Here we had shehiyah before, and now we have chazara, which is returning food to a fire on Shabbos. So Rabbi is telling us that if we have a meat dish that usually needs to cook for a really long amount of time, as long as it was cooked kamachal ben drusai, a third of its total cooking, he's allowed to return it to a kira on Shabbos as long as the kira is katum, the coals have been cooled off a little bit. And the saya kai demar Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha b'shem Rabbi Yechanan, this is just like what Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha said in name Rabbi Yechanan, Hashayfes is like there, agab gecholin, if a person places a pot of uncooked food on coals on Shabbos, masun boilich sheis bashal kachiyos ben drusai, usher. We're going to warn him about it reaching machal ben drusai, and then it's usher, meaning he's going to be chayev once it hits machal ben drusai. So we see that that's when food is considered cooked. Therefore, as long as it's machal ben drusai, it's allowed to be put back onto the stove on Shabbos, again, as long as it's katum. Now, if Acha quotes from Tanchum bar Chiyo, who says, b'shem Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe, chamin shochmo kol tzarchan, hot water that was fully heated, it was fully boiled, mutar lachzir nagab b'kira she'in ektuma, he's allowed to be machzirit on Shabbos to kira that's not katum. Now Rabbi Zeir asks, l'hashreis asur, l'hachzir mutar, if you want to be mashet, again, which means you have this fully boiled water before Shabbos, and you want to leave it on open flame going into Shabbos, that's asur. L'hachzir mutar, but to be machzirit on Shabbos, it's mutar? How does that make sense? And because there's a question we say, dilmalayis amris, maybe this din was only said, ala pesach, only in regards to the carbon pesach, meaning it was not said in regards to water, rather it was said in regards to carbon pesach when Erev Pesach is Erev Shabbos, which means that we have to cook the carbon pesach before Shabbos. And the chiddush over here is that if the carbon pesach was fully cooked and they want to put it back onto the fire on Shabbos, again, which is Liel Pesach as well, they're going to be eating in a couple hours, that would be permitted. And actually, we see this because Asar of Acha, Rav Acha came and he said, "B'shem Rav Shimon b'Rebbe, Pesach shenitzel kol tzarchoi, a carbon Pesach that was fully roasted before Shabbos, mutter lachzira agabe kira she'enek tuma, it's allowed to be returned to kira even though it's not katum." And that's because the bnei chabura, the people are all part of the same group eating this carbon Pesach. There's reason, they're conscientious, and each one of them is going to keep watch over the other ones to make sure that they're not going to run into any halachic problems on Shabbos, and that's why it's permitted. But once again, it's not necessarily talking about water. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to explain the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.